Man, our 8 o'clock service rocks. Goodness. You ate your Wheaties, you came to worship. Hey, great news. We are experiencing the last Sunday here at this facility. Maybe. We will have inspection, fire marshal inspection this week, Wednesday. If all things are green light, then next Sunday we'll be at the new facility. So, but here's what I need you to do. I need you to watch, if you have Facebook, watch my Facebook page or the church Facebook page to let you know, thumbs up, yes, we're going there or not. If you do not have Facebook, just call the office, call Amy. She doesn't mind if you call it midnight, whatever. If you have not heard by Thursday or Friday, just ask, you know, hey, are we at the old facility or with the new church? Because sometimes right now it's just hard to get information out, and it's a big transitional thing, and people are still without electricity in some parts, and so we're trying to get everything going. Yesterday we had big moving day, so if you see all the space, pianos are missing, and so we had a whole work day yesterday of getting things over there for that inspection this week. Hopefully everything will go just fine. Brody has done a very good job of keeping up on top of things with contractors and trying to help move things along for our benefit. So I appreciate him and his family and what they have done for us, for the Lord. So today we continue our study in Revelation. We're in the last chapter. We have been studying Revelation for a complete year now, a complete year. We're in the last chapter now, going verse by verse, going through. If we look at chapter 22, verses 1 through 5 today, but we have to keep in mind that these first five verses actually go with chapter 21. So it's a complete thought, chapter 21 into chapter 22, the first five verses. Gives us a vision and understanding, a better glimpse of the new heaven and the new earth that will be our eternal home as God's children. And that's a wonderful aspect of beginning to see with a little glimpse of understanding of what this new heaven and new earth will look like that we will reside upon in a glorified body. Praise God, a glorified body. No aches and pains. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Revelation 22, verse 1 through 5. Life in the kingdom of God. Life in the kingdom of God. You see two Old Testament references there. As always, through this book of Revelation, if you want to interpret Scripture, you interpret Scripture with Scripture. You don't interpret Revelation with the news channel and with the newspaper. You interpret Revelation with the Old Testament and parts of the New Testament. That's how we've been able to understand better, have a better grasp of what John is talking about in Revelation. So as we read through this, you'll see some references going back to Old Testament, and we'll turn there to help us understand. Now, you may hear this message today, and you'll just hear about a river and a tree, and you think, well, that's it. No, it's so much more than a river and a tree. It's rich in God's Word all the way around, and it's for our benefit for all eternity. As we read together Revelation chapter 22, verse 1 through 5. Then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of the street, on either side of the river, I saw the tree of life bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will no longer be any night, and they will not have any need of the lamp light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. It's beautiful. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you today. God, thank you today for the promised hope we have in Christ Jesus of a new heaven and a new earth spent for eternity with you. God, today, break it down to us. Help us not only understand it mentally, but Lord, in our soul, that there's rejoicing when we leave today. So, yes, it's been wonderful to be in God's house. Lord, teach us your word. In Jesus' name, amen. First thing we need to look at is the river of life. We see in verse 1, it says, "Then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and from the Lamb." So we have this vision of this river that John calls the water of life, flowing from the throne of God. We see something here that we need to understand. Where's the origin of this river is the first thing. Where's the origin of this river? Notice all life, both physical, spiritual, come from God. Eternal life for all humanity comes from the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. This is life-sustaining water. This is God's gift to his people to partake of for all eternity. Listen, we must recognize God's gift to us of eternal life. Right now, I'm 52 years old, believe it or not. I've been here a long time. I know I look 35, but I'm 52. But there's coming a day that I will be in my prime again for all eternity, and you will too. But what's amazing, we'll still recognize each other. That for all of life, all of eternal life, we are in our prime, the perfect health as God designed us originally. Eternal life in Christ Jesus is for whosoever will repent of their sin and believe in him and trust in him. See, God is the author and sustainer of life, not only here presently, but for all eternity. So we find reference to this river over in Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 1 through 6. Ezekiel, in the Old Testament, he's a prophet. He has this vision of this river, the same river that John sees. But Ezekiel's vision is a little different. Some small comparisons with you. "The man brought me," Ezekiel says, "back to the entrance of the temple. And I saw water coming out from underneath the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced the east. The water was coming down from under the side, the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me around the outside of the outer gate facing east. And the water was flowing from the south side. As the man went eastward with a measuring rod," he's talking about an angel, "measuring rod, or measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits, and he led me through the water that was ankle deep. And again, he measured another 1,000 cubits, and he led me through water that was reaching my knees. Then he measured off another 1,000 cubits, 3,000 cubits from the temple, measuring water that came up to my waist. He measured off another 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen so deep and deep enough that I could swim in, a river that no one could cross. So he asked me, 'Son of man, do you see this?' Then he led me back over to the bank." See, in the Old Testament, this prophet Ezekiel sees a vision of the temple. Remember, the temple is a physical representation of God's presence with the nation of Israel. So Ezekiel sees a temple with the river flowing through this river of life. There's a few things we need to understand about this river. So not only did Ezekiel see this river coming out of the temple, the physical representation of God, John saw it coming out of the throne of God. See, in the new heaven and new earth, we won't need a temple because God is the temple. You see, now He is present with us. We don't have to have a barrier between us. No barrier between us and God anymore. God is present with us. So the river of life flows from God's presence. His presence with us for all eternity. In its fullness. See, His glory illuminates the new heaven and the new earth. The river of the water of life flows from God to bring life to all His creation in the new earth. So what about this river in verse 1? He showed me a river of water of life, clear as crystal. If you remember over back in, I think, the first one or two chapters of Revelation, up and through there, it talked about John had a vision of the throne of God. What was around the throne of God? Water as clear as crystal. Now, see, that was a separation that we could not approach the throne of God then. But because of Christ, now it's just a flowing river. We can approach the throne of God, oh, the river of life. There's something unique about this beautiful river. Not only is it crystal clear, and not only is its origin from the throne of God, this river begins as a small trickle of water, and it widens and deepens as it moves along with no other tributaries pouring into it. Only from God. What does that mean, Brother Kevin? You see, if we could imagine, that's the grace of God going out for His people for all eternity, it only gets deeper and deeper and deeper. You can't run far enough from God. His children will always be in His grace. Listen, He's calling, He's offering grace out to the lost people. But those who are His children, there's grace that is ample, the grace that sustains us for all eternity. It only grows deeper and deeper and deeper as we go through all eternity. Could you imagine over our head? Sometimes we just need to dive into the ocean of God's grace, right? Oh, man. The devil comes around, tells us how terrible we are, and we probably are sometimes. Just remember, God's grace is an ocean. It doesn't need anything added to it. It's all coming from the Father, the river of life. Ezekiel 47, verse 3 through 5, he talks about it growing deeper and deeper, all the way from his ankle over up to over his head. The river of the water of life is an endless supply and ever deepening. Everything it touches is suddenly brought to life. Could you imagine in the new heaven and the new earth? I've never been to the Dead Sea. I've only seen pictures. Maybe you visited that on a vacation. Maybe you've seen that. There's nothing living other than a few humans floating around. There's nothing that can live in the Dead Sea. But there's coming a day when the water of God's life in the new heaven and new earth, everything it touches comes to life. Couldn't you imagine deserts right now that have no plants? Maybe a few cactus laying here. Maybe a few lizards and a few rattlesnakes running around. You imagine that as a garden. You imagine that as a tropical forest. Everything that God's river touches. Remember, it's going away and it's growing deeper and deeper and flooding out the new heaven with the new earth. Everything becomes new. Everything comes to life. And we get to enjoy that forever. The things that we see today that are wilderness and barren will be brought to life. We'll be enjoying a new earth like Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden. Listen, that excites me. That excites me. Do I like the desert? Well, I like pictures of it anyway. Do I like the wilderness? Well, sometimes when I'm hunting, you know. Would you imagine living in a utopia forever and ever and ever? That's what God is doing for you and for me, to enjoy for eternity. The second thing we see here is a tree. It's a tree of life. Revelation chapter 22 verse 2 says, in the middle of the street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So to better understand the significance of this tree of life, we have to go all the way back to Genesis, all the way back to the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 through 10. It says, then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the earth, of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living being. The Lord God planted a garden toward the east of Eden, and there he placed man who he had formed. Out of the ground, the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to sight and good for food. The tree of life also was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now a river flooded out of Eden at the water of the garden, and there it divided and became four rivers. So here we have the first mention of this tree of life. But we also have first mention of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So when we look back in Genesis, we see the tree of life, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden for a test. They had a test. They were created in the image of God. They had all of his likeness, but God gave them the freedom of choice. Would they love God enough, with all these things around them being perfect, would they love God enough to obey him? They could eat of the tree of life, and as long as they ate of the tree of life, they would live for eternity. Live for eternity. They could eat every tree in all the garden, and they would live for eternity and never get fat, never have cellulite, never have heart problems, nothing. Perfect. But this one tree, God said, don't touch it. They couldn't help themselves. You know the story. Eve goes out to pick a little fruit for the day. Serpent comes up. She saw the fruit was good. It looked ripe on the tree of knowledge and good of evil. And the serpent says, won't you get some of that fruit? I'm paraphrasing. Eve said, no, says, we're not to take of that fruit. We'll surely die. No, you won't surely die, said the serpent. Said, God don't want you to eat that because once you eat that, you'll be gods like him. Now Eve took a bite of the fruit. And he called her husband over there and gave him some. Now they knew they were naked. Now they understood good and evil. And they realized that something was wrong with them. They were no longer at one with God. They were now separated from God. And they were so ashamed, they clothed themselves and hid in the bushes. God comes around to visit. He doesn't call Eve. Man, this is a lesson for us. Who does he call? He calls Adam. We're the spiritual leaders of the home, men. Always remember that. Our wife and our children would do exactly as we lead them to do. He called Adam. Adam, why are you hiding from me? What'd you do, Adam? Well, you know that woman you gave me? She gave me some fruit to eat. And it was a tree that we wasn't supposed to eat off of. See, he started passing the buck. Sin just grew and grew and grew and grew. The separation between man and God just grew larger and larger.
It was a test, and Adam and Eve failed the test. But praise God, when Jesus came to the earth, he lived a perfect life. He obeyed God in every way, went to the cross and died for our sin. He is the second Adam. Praise God. He got it right so we can have salvation. And we get to enjoy the tree of life for all eternity. There's something that we noticed in those passages that we read. There was no tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was only the tree of life. And it bore fruit every month. So there's plenty, plenty, plenty to go around for Christmas and Thanksgiving. Plenty. We have the tree of life forever and ever to live in perfection. We see over in Genesis, we see what happened there, but we also know what Jesus Christ did for us on Calvary's cross to win salvation for us. Now, with this understanding, we can better grasp why the Lord chose to supply life to his people by means of the tree of life. All through the Old Testament, the tree was referenced oftentimes for prosperity, that the trees what would feed the people. And if you had green trees, you were prosperous because of the arid conditions around there. It stood for, in the Old Testament, life, and life being very prosperous. God chose a tree to represent to us the eternal life that we have. Eternal life was a gift of God to all who ate regularly of the fruit of this tree before sin entered mankind. Notice the tree of life in the new earth bears these 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. Those who eat are the elect of God, free from sin through Jesus Christ to live forever. Man. So what is this, Brother Kevin? You're talking about a tree and you're talking about a river. Listen, if we don't eat of that tree, it's a blessing of God to us. It's because we live for Christ in this life. We have it for all eternity. We see God's word coming full-fledged from Revelation back to Genesis. And listen, we are the ones who are blessed for all eternity to live out. There's something else about this tree, the leaves of this tree. The Bible says that the leaves of this tree are for the healing of the nations. Now, somebody's going to say, well, Brother Kevin, this is the new heaven and new earth that we'll be living in, and it's free of sin, and it's free of all these ailments, it's free of all these things. It's a reminder to us. John often used contrast. John wants us to remember our aches and pains here today. Listen, if you know pain, ladies through childbirth, if you have back issues, knee issues, headaches, you know pain, remember that pain because you'll never have it again in all eternity. You'll never have it again. There'll be no arthritis. There'll be no lung conditions. Praise God. There'll be no migraines. And John uses and reminds us this tree where the leaves or for the healing of the nations, reminds us that, listen, for all eternity, you'll never have to suffer again. Never. Because sometimes, let me tell you, we can get down on ourselves when we begin to suffer. When the pain is so intense, we can't bear it anymore, that we want out. We don't know what to do anymore. We're crying out to God, just give me some relief here. I know I did that. Last week, and the week before that, just some relief. You know, on the backside of it now, look how small it is. And to know that all eternity, no pain at all. Never have to take another blood pressure pill, praise God. Never have another ounce of stress. None of it. Listen, if you're a little wobbly on your feet today, you won't have to worry about falling anymore. Nothing will be taken. The leaves are for the healing of the nation. That's a reminder to us that God's taking care of it all. Can you even get your mind to begin to comprehend what its life will be like with no pain, with no aches, with no emotional issues, with no mental issues? Listen, to live that way for all eternity. I see relatives who are wheelchair bound. I see them struggle every day just to make the best of life. And there's a day that they're going to walk up and say, "Hey, how you doing?" And I'm like, "That's you? Yeah, that's me. Perfect health." Those that we've held when they passed away from this life, they will never pass away again. The least for the healing of the nations. The water of life, the tree of life. Let that resonate to you, that God has already pre-programmed in his providential plan your eternity forever and ever. It's yours. No matter what you suffer through in this life, it's going to be gone. No matter where you've been and how things you messed up, maybe you've done something you messed yourself up. Maybe we know people who have just had mental, emotional breakdowns. We see those who are struggling with addiction. They come to Jesus Christ, but the effects of it are already there. They're going to be clear-minded. And they'll walk the streets. And they'll walk through eternity as clear-minded as us. The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. We also see in verse 3, no sin curse in the world. There's no sin curse. No temptation. Verse 3 says, there will no longer be any curse. The reality is significant to the freedom we live in for all eternity in the new heaven and new earth. Today we live with this sin curse. And really, listen, it haunts us and it opposes us. Every day, every moment of the day, we live with this old fallen nature, and it yearns for selfish pleasures to bring this temporary satisfaction. We're rebellious against God and his authority. Listen, we want it our way. We want to be the Adam and Eve. It's that battle going on. We're saved. The new nature is with us now in Christ Jesus, and it wars against that old sinful nature. Our mind and our emotions are a battlefield, and every day we go to war. We long for peace with God, and we long for the peace of God to overflow us. And because of the sin curse, we're susceptible to sin and sickness and pain and disease and aging and failure of this body because of sin. Then eventually, we die. There's no sin curse anymore. And the effects in the new heaven and the new earth, no sin curse, and its effects are all gone. We won't have to worry and war against temptation anymore. We won't have to go to battle anymore. The battle is over. And forever we get to rest. Forever we really are at peace. Forever and ever, no sin curse. It's hard to imagine that there'll be no protest. There'll be no one destroying buildings and setting fires. We won't have to keep a weapon on us. We won't have to have weapons in our houses. We won't have to have locks and alarms and all. We won't have to have any of that. We don't have to see people around the world starving because their government won't supply their need, their food. Listen. Sin curse is gone. Greed and evil, it's all locked out. It's gone. It's burning in the lake of fire where there's no escape. We never age. We never decline in health. Our mental capacity stays stronger and stronger and stronger, and we never die. No parting over there. No sin curse. I don't know about you, but temptation always rattles me. and I'm on the stage, and I know if it rattles on me, it rattles on you too. Because that old nature wants to come back. It wants to pop its head up, hey, what's going on? Would you look over there? Would you look at that? Boy, wouldn't you want that? Always, always flaunting something. Always bringing a thought to mind. Always. And it's like a battle every day. Lord, Lord, move me away from this situation. Lord, turn my head. Lord, do this, do that. Oh, it's no gone. It's all gone. We also see that God dwells with his people. This is beautiful. The latter part of verse 3. And the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him, and they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. So what's the most important aspect of heaven, the new heaven and the new earth? What's the most important aspect? Is it that there's no disease? Is it that we'll never have pain again? Is it that we never have loss again? Is the best part of the new heaven, new earth, that sin is removed forever and ever and ever? Is the best part seeing mama and daddy or our spouse or our children that passed on? Is that the best part? No. Those are all wonderful. The best part is that we get to see our Savior face to face. Nothing in between us anymore. See, the best part of heaven is not all the attributes that are there. It's the person of Christ. That we get to spend eternity with him. That we get to worship him in the truest and purest form. That Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, paid the ultimate for us, is now with us. See, for us, right now, there's still this distance. That heaven is there, and we're here. But Scripture says that heaven really comes down to us. And that the throne of God is with us. That he is here. And we are his people. It says we are his bondservants. We are his. We're heirs. We are reigning with him. We worship him and serve him for all eternity. That is the sweetest part. Is that we're in the presence of the Savior. And never to be departed. Ever. Listen, this is not being in the presence of a good of your favorite person. It's not being in the presence of your spouse or your children who you love so dearly. You've never felt the love like you have for Christ. And there will be a day that love is only magnified in its purest form. Oh, see, that's the best part of the new heaven and new earth. Yeah, I want to see my mom. See my dad. I want to see my relatives, my siblings who have passed on. I want to see my grandparents. I want to see them. It'd be nice not to have any blood pressure issues or TMJ issues now or back issues or whatever other issues. It's going to be wonderful to have all eternity with no temptation. It's going to be awesome to have a glorified body. That's not the best. The best is Jesus. The best is with us. For all eternity. The throne of God and the Lamb. That's the most amazing and wonderful reality of the new heaven and new earth. Is that we get to be with Christ Jesus. The radiance of God's glory beams eternal light and, listen, illuminates that new heaven and new earth for us. Bible doesn't say that there will be no sun. It says that we won't need it. It says we won't need it because the light of the Lord will illuminate the whole place. The most beautiful, radiant light. We won't have to wear sunglasses. We won't have to, because everything will be in its perfect brilliance. There's no glare. It's just perfection. We see verse 5, and there will no longer be any night. There will no longer have need of light of a lamp or the need of the light of the sun, because the Lord, our God, will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. I like that last part. And they will reign forever and ever. The redeemed of Christ Jesus will reign on the new heaven and the new earth. You may not be much of anything right now in this life. You may have not completed school. You may have not gone to any college or trade school. You may feel that you are not much at all in this big old world. Probably most of us aren't. We may not be very much at all here. But the Bible says that we will reign. You know what that means? We're somewhere here in the leadership position now. This is our inheritance. In Christ Jesus, this is our inheritance. It says we will reign forever and ever. So through this life, you may be very humbled by your position in life. And that's wonderful. That's great. You may want more in life, and God says, not yet. But there's coming a day where you will want for nothing more, and you will want for nothing else. You won't want a bigger house, you have a mansion. See, all that selfish, that what we want more and bigger and better and faster and all this, that's all gone. We won't want. There will be nothing missing for us. And we reign with Christ on His kingdom, His new heaven, His new earth for all eternity. What a blessing. The kingdom of God is coming. The promises we have of a river or the water of life that gives life to this whole or new earth. Tree of life that we can snack on, we can eat off of, we can enjoy for all eternity. Talking about 1 billion Christians eating? The Bible says there's plenty. Don't worry about it. We get to be with our Savior forever and ever and ever. And we get to reign with Him in perfect mental capacity, perfect physical, perfect emotional. So you may be an emotional basket case right now, but you won't be there. Christian, whatever you're going through, whatever this life is thrown to you, whatever you've suffered, it will be rewarded. Romans 28:18. It will be rewarded for all eternity in a new heaven, new earth. That's God's promise to you. Let's pray together. Father God, today we thank you so much for your word. Maybe there's someone here who says, I can't believe he's making much of a tree and a river. But it's not just a river and it's not just a tree. God, we praise you that your word comes full circle from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. God, we praise you that it comes full circle from the prophets of Old Testament to the book of Revelation, to the fulfillment that we're looking forward to, that your Bible, your word says is very near. May we as Christians be alert, be excited, looking forward, even through the midst of destruction that we're living through right now. Lord, this is not the final. This is just temporary. God, this is not the final. God, thank you for your promises. We hold on to them every day when life seems to be such a big struggle. God, when we feel like we're being swept away and wiped away, remember, we're just passing through. Oh, God, we're looking for the new heaven and the new earth that you are bringing. that we get to be with you forever. In Jesus' name, amen.